Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Right, well, there's lots of different ways that you can spruce up what your indoors may look like, but perhaps one of the coolest ways to instantaneously make your indoors better is to get involved with some indoor plants and reshape what it looks like on the inside as opposed to just always on the outside. We're talking indoor plants with our friends from Lifestyle Home Garden. Plant manager Damon's in the building. Project manager Tyson's here. The domestic goddess of CliffCentral.com, Jane Malachi, is also here. Jane, just before we touch base with Damon and Tyson, just quickly, can you give me a description of like what Cliff Central's starting to look like with all these plants that are coming in, indoors, outdoors, everywhere?
The outdoor or indoors, actually.
Everywhere. What's it doing for the environment?
Today it was so special day because we saw all the flowers that they came.
Yes.
They look amazing, even though it's like a lot of flowers. Like, I don't know where to start. Like, I was asking myself where they're going to put all those flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can see that they know where they have to put them. But what I'm worried, the water.
Yes.
You have to know which flower you have to put the water for, like twice a month, one a day, one a week. You see those things, all of those flowers, they have like type of putting flowers, waters.
But this is why we've got Damon and Tyson here, because they're guiding us through this entire process. So Damon, Tyson, let's kick it off with this and just speak a little bit about the different plants that Lifestyle Home Garden have put together for the studios. Like, how did you go about choosing the plants? What do we have? What's the situation?
Okay, what we've done is we've basically used a multitude of indoor plants, different textures, different colors, different heights. You know, you get quite a nice variety of leaf shapes and things like that, which all play to give you sort of a huge complement. They sort of tend to complement each other quite fantastically. They tend to brighten up the space. We've got, like, for example, the Song of India. That's got a yellow leaf. So because Cliff Central's black and yellow, we've tended to go for a lot of those sort of colors. We've got some desk plants. You know, it's really just to green up the communal spaces and the offices and things like that, where you're surrounded by plant life throughout the day.
Tyson, when it comes to choosing indoor plants, you know, you're looking at things like lighting, space, dynamics, maintenance. How do you just begin, though? Do you have to think extensively about it, or should you just start? Is it a trial and error thing?
Yeah, it's a very good question. You've got to find out your space that you need to focus on. So working with the structure, that's very important to find out what will be the end result in the plant. Is it going to get very high? Is it going to get very wide? So you don't want to buy something that's not going to fit the space. I think what's also important is the lighting levels. If you're not going to match the right plant with the right lighting levels, you're going to have casualties. So working, each plant has got different needs, different watering requirements, different lighting conditions. So it is trial and error in a way. So if you're starting out, look at your space, look at your light, and I think you could work quite well off of that. That will give you a nice array.
And then you have to actually start potting these indoor plants. And this is a whole – remember when we learned about the stones and the draining?
But
and the,
what I'm worried about now is winter time.
Yeah, because it changes it.
They die so easily. So
well, do they? Does that happen with indoor plants in winter?
Well, no, not quite.
Yeah, not
indoor,
quite.
Indoor, you're a lot more protected. You know, you've got a much more protective environment.
In other words, it's less water now.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I would stick to your foolproof. Take a stick, stick it in, or take your finger, stick it in the smaller pots. If it's wet, prolong. If it's dry, water. It's a foolproof way of sort of accommodating any specific water requirements that any of your plants will need. It's very difficult to keep track of this one then, that one 2 weeks down the line, et cetera. So your best foolproof way is to just check the soil. If it's wet, prolong. If it's dry, water.
So what about if they change the color? Like, in other words, is too much water or what?
Too much water, yellowing leaves, generally. Not enough water, browning leaves.
Oh.
So it's a good, it's a very good starting point as to diagnose a problematic plant.
Yeah. They'll give you an indication. Slowly, they will start degenerating. And then you'll have to see.
Yellow leaf is what?
is too much water.
And browning too little.
Okay.
But like Tyson says, they will start to deteriorate. So you can pick it up very quickly if you constantly surrounded by your plants, you see them regularly. So you'll see the difference between what they came in or what you got when you originally planted to as they degrade. You'll lose a few leaves. They're the kind of thing that tells you. Mm-hmm. What they're going through.
You just got to be in sync.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the finger test is good for me. I don't want to get to the point where I'm looking at the leaf color and that. The finger test is good.
The one that they brought now, you can't put the finger because it looks like, what do you call the thing? What do you call those things?
Well, you've got bark chip on the surface. That's just to keep the moisture in. But if you just shift it aside a bit, you can get to the soil. We don't put we don't plant it in a bark chip, and we don't put a very thick layer on. It's just an aesthetic value to it, really.
Yeah.
So you just shift that apart, check the soil.
Oh, okay.
You can very quickly tell you. Okay. Yeah.
The thing that I'm still not entirely certain I'd be able to do without assistance is potting the indoor plants and getting the drainage right. Because, I mean, indoors, then you think, well, what are the tiles or the carpets going to look like afterwards? So how do we scope that?
Well, the thing is, for when you're planting up, you got to have a reservoir. So you they call it wet feet. You don't want the plant's roots sitting in this moisture. So what you do, you get your reservoir. You can use crush a stone. We've got a new product at Lifestyle where we are breaking down terracotta pots to form something called clinker, which is a very natural way of doing things and quite cheaper. And when you're planting up, you have to use potting soil. You can't use a compost. You can't use any different type of soil compound. Potting soil is the best for drainage. So just bear that in mind. And then also aeration. You know, water can suffocate a plant very quickly. So you've got to be very careful. A plant does need more air than it does need water. And if you do overwater, you might have later on disease that can step in, like mealybug, scale.
Molds, and things funguses, like that. Yeah. But it's not, I mean, it's once again something that you're going to see quite quickly. Just constantly look at your plants, see how they're doing. Okay, it sounds a bit crazy, but talk to them, give them some love and attention. Yeah. And I promise you now,
the problem,
they will
show
you.
I can't sing because they say sometimes when you're watering the flowers, you have to sing.
Why not?
Why can't you?
Try it out. See what happens.
I mean, the plants look great, don't get me wrong, but maybe if you sang, the pink would pop a little bit more into those flowers.
The plant isn't as judgmental as
Okay. I have to try that, by the way. I will try.
I think we need to start singing to the plants around here. I want to speak quickly about upkeep as well, in terms of like when you have to trim stuff and when you have to get rid of the dead leaves and all of that, and the best sort of tools or way to go about doing all of that, the upkeep.
Well, I think each is different. You know, each plant's gonna has a different stem, has a different leaf format, so to speak. So, depending on which plant you're talking about or which variety you're talking about, is depending on the tools you're gonna need. The smaller stuff you can use, like for example, a little scissors or a very sharp small pruners, just to give a light haircut to. With things like dracaenas, your older leaves you would grab it and give a tug to, starting from the bottom up. So each is slightly different. Obviously, a thicker stem, you're going to need like a bit of a saw or a big loppers or a pruners, that sort of thing. Whereas your finer foliage stuff, you're really going to use more of your smaller tools, your scissors, your little smaller pruners and things like that.
You can choose pretty much when you select your plant, what sort of maintenance you're getting yourself into. You can go for maybe a Ficus benjamina, which has a lot of little leaves that make quite a large mess. Or you can go with something with a broader leaf that will be quite easily to maintain and to keep trim. We do have very bushy trees, and we got sculptural trees. So it all depends on your makeup.
So what is Benjelina?
Benjamina is a type of ficus.
It's not for Brad and Angelina.
It's very common. In the ficus family, you get about 4 to 5 different types. And the ficus lorata is actually one that's very, very in at the moment that you'll see in a lot of home magazines and decor magazines. And we do have one or two for you today.
Yeah, so the ficus Benjamina is basically, one of the more well common known ficuses for indoors.
Very cool. Speaking of like the plants you choose, and some have more leaves than others, and that, I mean, you got to go with some sort of style, whether it is that you want to feel like you're in the Amazon jungle, whether it's that you want to feel like you're in a really well-kept garden somewhere in Japan. And that really comes from the person, I guess. But what's trending now in terms of indoor plants?
Well, Discover Your Wild is a sort of thing that we've adopted in at Lifestyle, where it's a messy jungle look. It's kind of like your bungalow area where you have plants overlapping each other and different textures and different foliage kind of making it work all in unison. So it's like a constructive mess in a way that's very, very in at the moment.
Sort of pots that you would collect along your destination. So as you travel, you'd pick up a pot here and you'd pick up a pot there. So not a lot of matching stuff. Look, everything, like you say, is style-based. But one of the big trends at the moment is to have a whole collection of different pots. As you'll see with the pots that we brought for the plants, for the indoor plants, there's not a lot that sort of have the same look or feel. We've gone for a lot of blues. We've got a blue almost in every set, which sort of gives you that continuity throughout. But everything's random. Everything's something you could have picked up, down the road, and then in Durban when you were there, and in Cape Town when you were there, and so on and so on. So it's a kind of look and feel where you've collected pots over 15 years. You've got a huge collaboration of them all put together with different plants, different textures, like Tyson says, and they all sort of work together. But it's always good to have one color that ties it all together, that gives you that continuity throughout the randomness.
Exactly. And also working with your high, medium, and lows. I think that's very nice, just to give a kind of look from each dimension. That's something to keep in mind.
So the pots that you brought today, because I want to know, like, I need to understand, because sometimes if it's indoor plants, because there's those nice pots, do you need to put a place under the neath or what? Because when you put the water in,
that's a very good question. What we did was we sealed the drainage holes for you, so you won't have any leakage out. But with that, it's kind of like a catch-22. You got to monitor your watering ever so closely. If you do have a drip tray, it's easy for the water to come through the soil out onto the drip tray and possibly overflow, so you never have that saturated water sitting. Yeah, depending on where you place it. If it's outside, you could get some pot feet with a small drip tray. If it's inside, I would recommend also going with a drip tray or sealing the drainage holes.
With a drip tray, just remember, you can't put water and water and water and water until you see it in the drip tray, because that volume of water in the pot, especially your bigger pots, has to have time to sort of filter through down to your drip tray section. So give it a bit of water. Leave it for 5 minutes. Let it
sink into
to the different layers, and just monitor your drip tray. Obviously, you know, you don't want to water it till it pours out the bottom, and then when it continues to sink and drain, then suddenly your drip tray overflows. That's something to just take into consideration.
Also, your amount of nutrients inside the pot and inside the soil will get less and less the more you water, because the more nutrients is coming out with the water. Too much water can also drain the nutrients.
And the big tree, the yellow one,
the
Cliff Central tree, how often I have to put water into that tree?
Well, that tree is a very maintenance-free specimen. It doesn't take a lot of care at all, especially with regards to watering. It's a cane stem family. It's a Dracaena song of India. So it stores its water in the stem, kind of like a camel in its hump. So it's really drought resistant in a way. So I would recommend once a month, you would give about a liter and a half, if that.
Ari, we have to take some notes here. You have to write everything down.
Yes, you do.
You do.
And you're so rude, you know that.
Listen, I love the idea though that we are bringing the party from outdoors indoors. And certainly, like, I think, you know, people think maybe of plants and they think it's always an outdoor thing, and indoors can just really enhance it because it does great stuff for the air, the environment, productivity, all of that. Just some closing thoughts on indoor plants and people playing around with maybe some more pot plants in the living room.
Look, you get the plants do a number of things. They sort of take a lot of they absorb a lot of negative energy. So, and then they replace that with positive energy. It creates a very sort of comfortable environment. Whether it be indoors, whether it be home office, whether it be corporate office, any of those sort of things. So I think it's vitally important, you know, instead of almost having a sterile environment, you've got that life in those environments as well. You get, there's a good couple of plants that purify the air. Sansevieria is one of them. It's one of your top 10 air purifiers known to us humans. Same with the Monstera Deliciosa, also one of your top 10 air purifiers. So it takes all that rubbish out of the air and replaces it with goodness. Yeah, you increase your oxygen levels during the day. You decrease your carbon dioxide, etc. So yeah.
What you can also do with plants inside is you formulate a sort of screen. You can use them for partitioning. What you can also do is utilize them in bathroom areas, even to knock out the echo. If you have a very large specimen, you'll find one or two in a big area will knock out your echo. So it does fill that empty space quite
Epic.
Easily. Yeah.
Well, listen, super interesting to be chatting indoor plants. And, of course, you can have a look at what this all looks like on social media on the Cliff Central accounts.
Yeah.
That there is the domestic goddess of cliffcentral.com who's got to look after all of us. Plus, of course, from Lifestyle Home Garden, Damon, who's the plant manager over there, and Tyson, who's a project manager over to Lifestyle Home Garden. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out. We got to keep the conversation going in the next couple of weeks. We're going to zoom in on how this Cliff Central Garden is really doing, and have certain people been putting in the effort they need to reap the benefits, because they want to eat the strawberries, but have they done enough?
I don't think you can eat strawberry when you know that you can't water in the strawberry. You must water it and get the strawberry.
I was saying people in general. I mean, if you took
people,
it to
I was thought maybe talking about me.
Yeah, I mean, I was.
I'm not the people, I'm Jane.
Yeah, Jane.
Yes, thank you.
It was Jane.
Okay.
All right, so we'll touch base again in a couple of weeks.
Hellman on CliffCentral.com.